Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is talking about, or continuing the series that we're doing on starting your own business. And let me just back up and explain why I've been discussing this topic. Because when you look at the job market, you've got to remember it has totally changed where you need to look. More and more people are working from home, in jobs where they're doing network marketing, where they're doing affiliate programs, where they're actually using technology. And recently, this week, I came across an article that says, Rising U.S. Job Worries Add to Upheaval. And what it basically was saying is that concerns about the ability of the U.S. economy to create jobs added to a broader wave of fear about European finances as fresh data showed unemployment claims rising and companies managing to boost the productivity without adding workers. The Labor Department reported initial claims for jobless benefits rose by a larger than expected 8,000 to 480,000 claims in the week ended January 30th. A separate report showed that companies managed to increase output for each hour worked at a seasonal adjusted annual rate of 6.2% in the 2009 final quarter, down from the third quarter's 7.2%, but still well above average. The data reinforced doubts that a strong rebound in jobs will give the U.S. consumers the wherewithal they need to contribute to a sustainable economic recovery. The market will learn more early Friday when the U.S. unemployment number for January is reported. The latest reports confirm that the recovery in the labor market is likely to be quite slow, said Conrad DeQuartis, an economist and consultancy RDO Economics. This suggests consumer spending is not going to be the major drive of growth in 2010. The reports come at a time when jitters are growing that financial trouble in Greece and other European countries could have a detrimental effect in the U.S. And the reason I'm going through and quoting these articles before I actually get into what my topic is today is to let you know that you need to look for other avenues when you're thinking about unemployment. Now, here's another article that I came across, and that particular article talks about how unemployment has risen over the last couple of years. And the reason for this is that when you look at the job market, things have totally changed. Unemployment rose in most cities and counties in December, signaling that companies remain reluctant to hire even as the economy recovers. The unemployment rate rose to 306 of 372 metro areas, said the Labor Department said Tuesday. The rate fell in 41 and was unchanged in 25. That's worse than November when the rate fell to in 170 areas, rose in only 154, and was unchanged in 48. The metro unemployment numbers aren't seasonally adjusted and can be volatile. Many of the increases were due to seasonal factors. For example, Ocean City, New Jersey, which bills itself as America's greatest family resort, saw its unemployment rate jump to 16.4% in December from 14.8% in the previous month. That's double the 8% it reported in July, even though the nation's economy was in the worst shape then. Ocean City is one of the 19 metro areas that reported unemployment rates of at least 15%. 12 of those are in California and 3 are in Michigan, the department said. Joblessness topped 10% in 138 metro areas, up from 125 in November, but below last year's peak of 144 areas in June. Now, when you think about it, the only thing that you can look at is, remember, the job market has totally changed. And since we're talking about starting your own business and doing a step-by-step going through each week for the next another two months is discussing how you can change your options on where the job market is. Remember, more and more people are working from home. More and more companies are streamlining their office space because they need to cut their expenses. So what they're doing is doing more and more of jobs that were done in an office or can now be done at home. Think about it. If you are working from home as a secretary, you are a virtual assistant on the internet. Why can't a company hire someone to work from home and do the same things they did in the office and allow them to cut the space and cut the time? And it helps you cut out your commute time, since cities have trouble with highway congestion. Then these are the alternatives that you need to think about when you are working for someone. Now, if you decide you want to have your own business, there's many options available to you. And when you do that, you need to go back and look at who you are, what is your natural behavioral style, and what is it that you really love to do? What is it that you really have a passion for? And when you decide what it is that you want to do, you need to know who it is that you really want to work with. Who's the client that fits your niche? So that in today's show, we're actually going to discuss selecting the right target market. Our free enterprise system encourages competition. This means that it is a buyer's market rather than a seller's market. If you do not offer what the market desires and you are no better than your competition, then you are destined to fail. Simply stated, if you don't have enough customers, you don't have a business. In order to succeed, you must give prospective customers a compelling reason to go out of their way to ignore your competition and give you their money. If your business activities are simply going to be a lukewarm rehash of what the business down the street is doing, then you had better reserve some of the space in the obituary section of the newspaper for your business. Remember last week when we talked about someone being a small businessman competing against the larger big boxes, big box places like Walmart and Target, that if they were selling the same thing to you in 50-pound bags to an individual and they don't need them, then why can't you, as a gardener or a store that gardeners would come to, take that bag and break it up into 51-pound bags and then give people a little bit of your know-how and your knowledge to help them go home and do something, because that is going to create customer loyalty so that they will come back to you in later months and when they need something at another time. So these are just some suggestions, but it's a good idea that when you think about employment and what it is that you really want to do, these are things that you really need to be concerned about. If your business is no better than the competition on the things your target market truly values, it will not succeed. There is simply too much competition for consumers' dollars, and the consumers know it. Your business must provide consumers with a compelling reason to try your business, to tell their friends about it, and to keep coming back. If you are not in a position to offer consumers exactly what they want, when, how, and where they want it, at a price they feel is fair and still make a profit, then you should forget the whole thing. The marketing part of the business plan begins with the identification of consumer wants that are not being met well enough or at all. The process of listening to the market is, in general terms, was discussed earlier. Now you need to get down to the specifics. The marketing part of your business plan describes how you will attempt to create and maintain customers for a profit. At this time, you need to describe your industry, your market, your territory, your competition, your prospective customers, and your marketing mix. This is important because no business operates in a vacuum. Your business plan must reflect the unique environment you will be operating in, as well as what you plan to have as your competitive advantages. Before you start any kind of business, you need to have an in-depth understanding of the industry you will be in. You should join the trade association for your type of business. A trade association is made up of people who are in that type of business and people who are suppliers to businesses in that trade. The trade association and its members have a wealth of information that they have gained through extensive experience in that type of business. By tapping their knowledge and insights, you will definitely increase your chances of being a success. Most trade associations offer magazines and newsletters. They also schedule exhibits and speakers on a variety of topics to assist their members. Check the Encyclopedia of Associations published by Gale Group for a listing of trade associations for your type of business. Remember, being a public speaker, being able to discuss different topics, and getting out there in front of groups will help them realize that you are the expert on your topic. This way, you can build a following of people, and once you build that following, guess what? Then you can build up your list of opt-in people that you can send emails to on a regular basis. And doing this will also help you to build your potential sales, because that is your bottom line, your income. You should also gather information about trends in your industry in areas such as products, services, expenses, advertising, credit policies, rate of growth, foreign factories, current laws, pending regulations, technological changes, and so on. Industry surveys published by Standard and Poor's profile 45 major industries. U.S. Industry and Trade Outlook published by the U.S. Department of Commerce has a section on emerging industries. The Business Periodicals Index may identify articles about trends in your type of business. The Complete Small Business Sourcebook published by Times Books and the Encyclopedia of Business Information Sources published by Gale Group may also be helpful. A number of internet search engines and websites can also provide useful information. It may be worth the time to visit similar businesses in other cities to learn what works. It is important for you to know whether you are about to enter an industry that is experiencing growth and increasing profitability rather than one that is mature and saturated. Whether the industry is sensitive to inflation or industry rates, whether claims and franchises dominate the market, whether the industry is susceptible to foreign competition, whether it is subject to major technological change, who the major suppliers and customers are, and what the future may hold. If you understand the nature of your industry, you will be in a better position to analyze the specific market you plan to enter. You will also be in a better position to identify ways to develop your competitive advantages. And here's another idea that you need to consider. You need to figure out how much of a competition you have in that city, and are you saturated? For instance, I grew up, or I spent the last 30 years in Atlanta, and Atlanta has the Life Institute where a lot of chiropractors have graduated from and become certified. Now, when you think about it, a lot of them tended to stay in the Atlanta area. So the city really has become oversaturated for chiropractors. So what are some other small towns or areas that you can move in? Or you need to look at where it was that you grew up, what neighborhood you grew up in, and can you serve that neighborhood with your specific product or service? Because these are people you know, people you grew up with, that may very well be your customers when you have your business. At this time, you need to study the specific geographic area in which you plan to start your business. You need to learn about the unique nature of the area. You need to know about the population, the overall rate of growth of business activity, whether people move frequently to what neighborhood, whether the downtown area is the center of the business activity, whether new suburban malls are planned, who the employers are, and whether they have a promising future, whether new roads are planned, and various other factors that may affect business conditions in general and the business you plan to start in particular. Census data, the survey of buying power, and the local chamber of commerce can be helpful here. You will be looking for the level of disposable income and whether the population has exhibited a willingness to try new products, services, and businesses. One of the most important parts of your market analysis involves identifying the people or businesses who may have a desire to purchase your type of product or service. Your overall geographic market may include hundreds or even thousands of people who may have an interest in your product or service. You are trying to identify the number of potential customers, who they are, how often they buy, whom they are currently buying from, how much they spend, and if they are brand or store loyal. You want to learn which people are satisfied customers and which are still in search of a business. It will also be beneficial to know how much money is spent on the type of goods and services offered in your geographic area. The economic census, which is conducted every 5 years in the years ending in 2 or 7, provides information on various businesses. The economic census information is available on the Bureau of the Census's website. From these data, you will be able to learn who buys what, how often, and from whom, and what these customers may be looking for. No business can be all things to all people. Even though each customer is unique, in most markets, there are a number of people who have some common interest. Just as a jigsaw puzzle is made up of different pieces, markets are made up of different segments. Each segment represents a group of people who have similar features or interests. By analyzing the market, you will be in a position to identify the people who consume your type of goods, classify the market into various segments, ascertain which segments are still in search of a business, and determine which segments should be target markets in your business. Now, let's back up and let's talk about another thing that is very obvious here. This weekend is the Super Bowl, and you've been seeing the news talk about all of the ads that run on the Super Bowl and why they run, because so many people watch it just simply for the ads alone. And what they're saying is that all of these major corporations are not willing to spend $3 million on these ads because technology has allowed them to take that same money that they would spend and that make it, diversify it, and get it out in many areas. Because think about it, when you are at a bus stop or when you are on the train, you see ads today. And they have the 3D glasses that you can look at, and they have certain things that they run through the lights that they can flash it on the walls of any subway system today. So if they take that same money and they look at it and they look at the different ways that they can target market people, you're even seeing that they have technology has allowed them that when someone walks by to be able to tell your weight and your height, and then that also allows them to be able to tell you how to target you based on your body structure. So remember that you have to, in today's marketplace, when you are starting a business, you totally have to change your way of thinking about how you look at having a business. The next step in analyzing your market involves doing a complete analysis of the businesses that are already offering your type of goods and services in the geographic area under consideration. You want to learn how many businesses are already in the marketplace, what they offer, and where they are located. Once you have gathered these data, you will be able to develop a competitive matrix that reflects the strengths and weaknesses of businesses in the market. The competitive matrix is constructed by listing all the businesses vying for customers in a particular geographic area, identifying all the dimensions of their market offerings, known as the marketing mix, and then rating each business on a scale of 1 to 5 in terms of its relative strength on each dimension. The competitive matrix provides a rating of the businesses that are already in the overall market. The next step is to construct a competitive matrix of each of the market segments within the overall market that is large enough to warrant your situation. This will take some time, but it will help clarify specific market group, market gaps. A competitive matrix is developed for each segment because consumers in different segments may place a different value on or priority on the various dimensions of the marketing mix. A segment made up of lower income families operating on a limited budget may place a premium on low prices, access to public transportation, in-house credit, and the offer of a warranty. A market segment comprising upper income, double wage earning couples without children may be interested in exclusive brands, knowledgeable salespeople, delivery service, evening hours, and the opportunity to place phone or internet orders. You should rate the relative importance of each dimension of the marketing mix on a 1 to 5 scale for each segment in its individual matrix. These matrices can be used to identify whether there are gaps between what consumers desire and what the existing businesses offer in each segment. These gaps represent opportunities because they represent customers in search of a business. For example, if you were investigating the relative merit of starting a retail seafood market, you might find a segment that places a premium on being able to place phone orders, charge their purchase on the Visa card, have their flash built, have their fish filleted, and have it delivered. This segment may not be very price sensitive. A rating on a price of 1 or 2, you should then use the matrix to see if any existing business offers the people in this segment what they are looking for. If no business in the matrix offers these services, this indicates a possible opportunity to start a business with competitive advantages for that particular segment. It should be noted here that not all gaps represent opportunities. You are looking for gaps where the segment values something to a greater degree than existing businesses are supplying it. Gaps where existing businesses are providing more than the consumers want do not reflect opportunities for the new ventures. In your analysis of the competitive matrices, you will be looking for rows to indicate significant gaps in high-value dimensions for all existing businesses. Particular attention should be directed to dimensions that the segment highly values, but where existing businesses are not within one rating point of the value that segment places on it. You want to find gaps of at least 2 points because it may be easy for an existing business to change what it is doing if its gap is only 1 point. If a business already had a score of 4 on a customer service, it might be able to improve its score by hiring a better staff, providing incentives, and/or improving its information system. Gaps at least 1 point are indicated with asterisks. A whole row of asterisks indicates the customers in that segment are not satisfied and that they are searching for a business that will give them what they want in that dimension. Competitive matrices that have numerous rows of asterisks may be what the military calls target-rich environments for new businesses. The development and analysis of the competitive matrices are similar to corresponding business opportunities if you go back to a previous presentation. The development and analysis of competitive matrices need to be followed at this point, you should be able to develop a customer profile that describes specifically the nature of the people in your target market. The overall market is like a target. Your target market is the bullseye. Remember, no business can be all things to all people. You should concentrate your attention on being the best to the people in your target market. If you cannot provide a customer profile of your target market in terms of who they are, where they live, where they have a white collar or a blue collar job, what they do with their time and money, and their preferences for products, services, and brands, you will not be able to tailor your marketing mix to their specific needs, interests, wants, desires, and behavioral patterns. Big businesses and a number of small businesses try the shotgun approach of creating customers. They try to be or do too many different things to too many different people. They are not very successful because their marketing mixes are compromises. They try to have something for everyone rather than offering the best for a few. When a business treats the market in general terms as if everyone is alike, few people get exactly what they want. The rest of the people remain customers in search of a business. And let me stop here and let me also mention that the reason I am discussing this is also telling you that when you go into network marketing, if you are specifically in a working with a specific product, you have people who may use the product, but they may not want to sell it. So they may not be the perfect recruit for you as a distributor make money off of, but they may very well be a recurring customer for you so that you can continually make money off of them every month, especially if they are buying only a month's supply at one time. So you just have to look at what people's needs are. Are they looking for extra money? Is this something that they really love and they would get into no matter what? So these are just some things that you need to consider. And also, what I want to tell you about is that maybe we can take a little break here and welcome back after this break, and I want to remind you that you can get more information on starting a business and help on coaching to find your passion and build it into a business by going to my website, and that's onepersonalcareercoach.com. If you also want to learn your behavioral style and build good, strong relationships in a business, we can help you on that as well. And let's get back to what we've been discussing. You need to use the rifle approach in which you select a specific market segment, bullseye, and offer the customers in that segment exactly what they are looking for. This is a critical component in the formula for creating and maintaining customers for a profile. This process is similar to the way hunters go after big game. Successful hunters identify a certain type of animal to go after, study its unique behavioral patterns, and develop an approach to shooting it. Businesses try to approach to a group of people by offering a marketing mix that is tailored to that group's unique interests. A distinction should be made between businesses and hunters. Businesses want their customers to come back time and time again. They also want the customers to encourage their friends and associates to try their businesses. In fact, many hunters have replaced these rifles with cameras. They have realized that their hunting will continue only as long as they have animals to shoot with their cameras. Let's stay with the business hunter photographer analogy a little longer. The similarities provide additional insight into how a new business can create and maintain customers for a profit. Your new business will be successful to the extent that you are able to identify a group of customers in search of a business. Know the group's unique characteristics and tailor your marketing mix to those characteristics. The most successful hunters and photographers try to learn as much as possible about the target before they initiate the hunt. They try to learn how big it is, how it moves, whether it lives alone or in groups, whether it has keen sense of smell, sight, and bearing. The more the hunter photographer knows about the target, the higher the probability of a successful expedition. The same applies to a new business's ability to create and maintain customers for a profit. Unfortunately, it may be more difficult for you to learn about the nature of your target market than it is for hunters to learn about their prey. A significant part of animal behavior is the result of instinct. Consumers can be more exclusive because most of their behavior is learned. People are also more complex. Their attitudes are the product of many factors, and numerous forces influence their behavior. The fact that their expeditions may also change over a period of time adds to the challenge of attracting and keeping customers. This means that you will be shooting at a moving target. There are six useful sets of factors that can help you identify the nature of the people who could constitute your target market. People may be described using demographic, geographic, psychographic benefit usage, and consumer loyalty factors. These characteristics will help you formulate a customer profile, which is discussed later in this chapter. Now, let's remember that what we're doing is going through and telling you how to figure out what your target market is, because we all have a niche that we really, really fill, and the idea is to fill it and help people in a way that can really bring them back for more business. For instance, right now, we are dealing with a crunch of unemployment. So people need to think about ways that they can create a job for themselves. That's why I've been doing this series of articles or shows around how to start your own business and going through different segments of things that really affect you in the business world. Because there's no reason why that you can only look for a job with someone that's going to pay you a salary. Because when you pay a salary and you're earning a salary and then you expect your time to be worth more money to you per hour, then it does over time. But if you're in the manufacturing field, then unless you're willing to pay more money for goods and services for someone else to help you out, like if you have a maid that works in the home, what if they wanted $50 an hour? Do you think that's fair for someone to come in and work in your home and spend it at the most 2 hours there, and then they expect you to pay them $50 or $100 per hour? Well, that's why so many of these companies, these manufacturing companies, have moved overseas, because they have felt that they've reached a point where the unions have demanded more and more money, and unless the consumer is willing to pay more and more for the product so that the company keeps up their profit, then they're going to look for ways to cut their expenses. So these are really things that you really need to consider when you are thinking about different opportunities. Now, the county and city data book published by the U.S. Department of Commerce contains the following types of information on each city: number of people employed in manufacturing, wholesale, and retail jobs, professional services, and government, and number of who are self-employed, average value of the household, average age of the household, percentage of female householders with husband present, number of children enrolled in elementary school, number of children enrolled in high school, number of people with a high school education, number of people with a college education, percentage of the population that has moved within the area, within the state and out of state, or to another country, percentage of population of each race. Now, remember, this is 2010. And this is the year that we do a census. And this, when they do that census, then that's how they determine how people have moved around, how many children have been born, how many people have died, or if someone's this is how they're able to figure out and determine how many teachers are going to be needed in the school system for the next year, how many schools will be needed to be built, are they going to be overpopulated, or whatever. So remember, these are things that may help you in your business, but it also helps the government and it determines how money is dispersed between the governments. The addition the Editors and Publishers Market Guide provides a profile on more than 1,500 cities and communities in the United States and Canada in which a daily newspaper is published. The following information is included in each profile: principal industries, largest shopping centers, number of retail stores by category, including chain stores, sales by category of store, disposable personal income, population estimates, number of passengers, autos, newspaper circulation. Numerous other sources of demographic information for a market may also be available from each city's planning department. The respective state's Department of Commerce, the local Chamber of Commerce, area banks, business schools at neighboring universities, and the U.S. Small Business Administration. Local newspapers often have a wealth of information about their community. Now, remember that. We just went through and we told you how the Editors and Published Market Guide is important. Well, think about it. If you're going to be opening up, say, a house bar, or a franchise, you want it in an area where your competition is low and you're not saturated. Big simple reason. When you do that, guess what? You're going to have more people who come to your store who wouldn't be there because they have, but maybe once a month or once every 3 months if you've got a competition there. But remember, if you're part of a franchise, you're able to weather having someone only come once a month or once every 2 or 3 months. If you're a small business, you need people coming in on a regular basis. If not every day, maybe even twice a day. You never know what people's needs are. What do you think a grocery store is? They may have a lot of competition, but if they're a specialized, like, say, Whole Foods, where they're specialized towards the whole grains, the healthier, the organic, and if more and more people are going to the organic, then guess what? That store may be a specialty store or a health food store, but they're going to get the customers because those people are there because they really want those products. People who are involved in marketing have a saying, if you can't sell all the people something, then sell a lot to some of the people. People can be classified into non-users, light users, medium users, and heavy users. If you have a sales goal of $200,000 for your first year of operation and your average product sells for $50, there are various ways for you to reach that goal. You can try to sell one product each to 4,000 people. Conversely, you can try to find one person who would buy 4,000 items. The last scenario is fairly unlikely, but it does illustrate the value of the usage rate analysis. Some businesses benefit from the 80-20 rule. In these businesses, 80% of the total sales come from 20% of the customers. Businesses obviously need to pay particular attention to the 20%. They also want to know where they can find more people like the people in the 20%. Usage rate analysis has yielded some interesting information. Years ago, a major brewery studied beer consumption. In research, classified people according to how many 12-ounce equivalents, the size of a beer can, people consumed on a daily basis. People were classified as non-consumers, light consumers, medium consumers, or heavy consumers. However, the brewery found that it needed to create a fifth category, the super heavies. The market study revealed that the number of people who consumed at least 24 12-ounce equivalents a day was large enough for the group to be considered a separate segment. People in the auto business also pay attention to usage rates. Auto dealers are particularly interested in how often people trade their cars and whether they lease them or buy them. Tire dealers are interested in how many miles people drive each year and how often they replace their tires. Car washes, muffler shops, and gas stations also want to know about the different usage categories of customers. Restaurants illustrate the value of the usage rate classification system as a way of identifying customers. As a restaurateur, you would use one marketing mix if you were going after people who live in one particular neighborhood, dine out 3 times a week, and are loyal to one restaurant. You would use a different marketing mix if the target market you were trying to attract consisted of tourists or conventioners who might be in that town only once in their lifetime. Your marketing mix would again be very different if you were targeting college students. The same principle would apply if you were targeting retirees. Consumer loyalty factors. Consumers vary in their loyalty in particular businesses and specific brands. Some people will not even try a competing brand or business. Other people are willing to shop around and compare product and service offerings. Consumers can be classified as having low, medium, or high levels of loyalty. Anyone who is considering starting a business should investigate the extent to which consumers are loyal to businesses that are already in the market. Highly loyal customers tend not to pay attention to the competitors' advertisements and usually are unwilling to try new stores or new brands. If your market analysis reveals that a large percentage of the people in the market have a low level of loyalty to existing businesses, this means there are customers who will be willing to try new businesses. Putting together the customer profile, the preceding discussion of ways in which consumers can be classified or described indicates the multidimensional nature of people in the marketplace. People who are contemplating starting a business frequently say, "Wouldn't it be a lot easier if all consumers are alike? It would certainly be easier to tailor your offering to the market if John Smith's interests were the same as Susan Jones' interests. However, if everyone wanted the same thing, then a few large businesses would dominate the marketplace. Their economies of scale would give them a cost advantage that would enable them to offer lower prices than most small businesses. The beauty of our marketplace is that consumers are multidimensional. Instead of one tremendous, humongous market, we have numerous distinct segments. Within each segment, there are enough similarities of interest among the consumers to enable a business to tailor its offerings to meet a particular group's needs. The differences among people may make it more difficult to identify and understand them, but these differences are the reason why so many opportunities for new businesses exist today. As people's needs change and the desire to express their individuality increases, opportunities for new ventures also increase. A new business must direct its market offerings to one or more segments of the population in which customers are in search of a business. As noted earlier, the rifle approach will be effective only if you can clearly identify the specific target market you will be trying to satisfy. Market analysis and market segment selection require that you be able to compile a customer profile that describes the unique nature of your target market. The customer profile plays an essential role in their marketing effort. If you can describe the people you are trying to satisfy, you will be a better position to develop a marketing mix that is tailored to the particular needs. The customer profile can be viewed as a tapestry woven with numerous strands of thread. You need to attempt to identify the key dimensions of the thread and how they are interrelated to constitute the unique nature of the target market. The customer profile describes the bullseye of your target market. The more you understand what the people in your target market value in life, how they spend their time, how they spend their money, and what they want but don't have enough of, the more likely it is that you will be able to meet but don't have enough of, the more likely it is that you will be able to meet their needs. If you understand their lifestyles, you will have an idea about what goods and services they need, how often they use the certain products and services, and whether they are loyal to a particular store or brand. You will also gain insight into how much disposable income they have and whether they are price sensitive. If you know the interest you may be able to advertise on the network and cable shows they watch on television, if you know when they drive to work and what radio stations they listen to, you will be in a better position to design radio spots that are in tune to their interest, and that will be aired at times when they are listening. The information may also indicate the best places for you to locate billboard ads if the ads are appropriate for your type of business. Your marketing effort will have the greatest impact when its components are in sync with one another and properly choreographed. The same logic that also applies to locating your business and finding ways to distribute your products or services. If you are going after a particular segment of parents, as in the case of early childhood development centers described in Chapter 3, you will want to know where they live and that you can select a location that is within a 5-minute drive to the target market. However, if you plan to manufacture a line of items for people throughout the United States, you may choose a location that is close to distribution facilities. The customer profile should be as specific as possible. When someone asks you to whom you will be targeting your marketing efforts, you will need to have something more specific than anyone who will buy my products and services. The following customer profile for a clothing boutique may serve as an example to identify a specific target market. Cachet Fashions International is targeted to professional women between the ages of 35 and 55 who earn at least $70,000 per year, who pay at least $300 for a dress and $150 for shoes for everyday use and $600 or more for an outfit for specific occasions, who spend at least $10,000 per year on clothes, who are style conscious yet maintain traditional values, who are moderately loyal to certain brands yet willing to try a new brand, who want their clothes to be tailored to flatter their figures, who entertain regularly, who drive a car less than 3 years old that costs at least $33,000, who live in a house or condominium valued in excess of $450,000, who take at least 3 vacations per year, with one or more being outside the continental United States, who have their own personal credit cards with at least $5,000 limit per card, who have at least $15,000 in jewelry, who subscribe to magazines such as Harper's Bazaar, Town & Country, Architectural Digest, and Forbes, and who live or work within a 60-mile radius in Manhattan. The customer profile includes many of the factors described earlier. It illustrates that knowing the specifics of its target market will enable a business to tailor its marketing mix to the unique needs, interests, and behavioral patterns of that target market. The same framework can be applied if your business will be selling products and our services to other businesses. A business may have more than one target market. Cachet's customer profile was of women in a certain age range with a certain income who lived in a certain area. This isn't to say that Cachet would not be willing to sell its products to someone less than 35 years who is on vacation or on a business trip in Manhattan or who doesn't have a full-time job. Most successful businesses also have secondary target markets. Each of these target markets will have a corresponding customer profile. A secondary target market may also affect the business's marketing mix. If Cachet's secondary target market consists of women who are traveling to Manhattan on a business trip or on a weekend vacation to catch the latest Broadway show, Cachet will have to expand its advertising to include the magazines that people read. Cachet will also need to have a location that is highly visible and convenient to its secondary target market. Two notes of caution need to be provided here. First, it is usually better for a new business to concentrate on serving one market well rather than trying to have something for everybody. In Cachet's case, it would be better for it to concentrate on 80% of the sales effort on its primary target market and 20% on tourists than to try to split its mix right down the middle. The greater the differences between your primary and your secondary target market, the more you should consider having two separate businesses, each catering to the unique needs of one of your target markets. The rifle approach works best if you are shooting at a target with only one bullseye. Second, only being able to identify your target bullseye and being able to hit new businesses is to succeed. It will be able to create and maintain customers for a profit. The bottom line is that you have to make enough profit to justify the time and money you invest in your new business. And you read the next two chapters on marketing, make sure to read the chapters on developing financial projections. Now, we're down to the last minute, so I want to remind you, if you're interested in starting your own business and you need help in figuring out what your niche is, how to reach your target market, then I would like you to go to my website, onepersonalcareercoach.com, and sign up for at least 6 months to a year of coaching, because when you start a business, you need to build a successful business, and it takes time to build that successful business. Because first of all, you're going to have to be able to write down a plan, and you're going to have to write down a step-by-step plan on how you are going to build success in your business, because it does not happen immediately, and it does not happen overnight. But that is why when you start a brick-and-mortar store, you have to have almost $500,000 in hand just to build a successful business. If not, then if you're working from home, you don't need to have as much of an overhead, but you still need to have something available to you. And then I would like to remind you to come back next week when we will discuss further on how to start your own business.